proclaim the power of prayer right now. This is Father Scott Seetaler. What follows next is a joyful reflection. It's Thursday, and if by this point in the week people are really starting to get on your nerves, they're driving you crazy, they're saying things that lack common sense, they're asking you to do things for them that they should be able to do for themselves, if they're whining, please stop for a moment. Got to remember the words from the musical Les Miserables, from one of the songs, to love another person is to see the face of God. Yes, that is the big challenge in our world right now. How do I recognize the face of God in the people who whine, in the people who are unjust, in the people who have a different type of personal hygiene than I do, in people who are corrupt and unjust and illegal? How do I recognize the face of God in those people? Is that even possible? Not by our own grace, not by our own strength, but by the grace of Jesus Christ and by the power of prayer. When I say to love another person is to see the face of God, is that scriptural? Yeah, you know it is. What you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do to me. The Father and I will come and make our home in you. Even in the heart of the most despicable person, there's still the presence of God. It's the life force, right? You can't drive God completely out of your life. Those of you who worry about your children who have gone down a path that has broken your heart, or they don't practice any religion, or they don't go to church, you need to believe that God hasn't given up on them, that God's working inside of them. God doesn't break into our life from the outside. God breaks out of our life from the inside, which is another way for me to say that the God principle is there. And as much as they may bother us, we need to recognize that God principle, respect it, and treat them like we would treat Jesus. Of course, that's not easy. That takes a mystic to see things through God's eyes. Today's scripture passage comes from Mark's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 29. This kind can only be driven out by prayer. Now, let me give you the context for that sentence, because I'm obviously going to talk about prayer. Yeah, I know I talk a lot about prayer, but I have to talk about prayer. Prayer is the lifeline. It's like the umbilical cord between us and God. Okay, the context for that sentence is Jesus was up on the mountain with Peter, James, and John, and when they came down from the Transfiguration, they see a whole crowd gathered around the rest of the disciples. And when Jesus gets closer, this man runs to Jesus and said, please help my son. He throws himself into the fire. He's possessed. Please help my son. I asked your disciples to do it. They couldn't do it. Please. And Jesus is starting to see the crowd getting real big and starting to be very, very, rowdy. Jesus says to the man, well, do you think I can do that? I do believe. Help my unbelief. So Jesus does the wonderful miracle. And later when he gets off to the side with his disciples, they ask him, why couldn't we do that? Why couldn't we do that? And that's where this quote that I shared with you, Mark 9:29, this kind can only be driven out by prayer. I hope you realize that the power of evil is a strong power, that we shouldn't be playing around with it, with Ouija boards and fortune tellers and all the other ways of getting people hooked on cults. No, don't go there. Do not go there. Evil is powerful. Always looking for a way to get inside a person. Always looking for you to keep the door of your heart cracked open just a little bit. to some influence which is not good for you. That's why we have to be men and women of prayer. People who do the official exorcisms, and I can only talk about the church that I know, which is the Catholic Church, and in every diocese there has to be an exorcist. And the person who has been given that responsibility from the bishop, it's a priest, he has to be a man of great prayer. Could you imagine going one-on-one with evil? Evil that has just taken over a person. Evil that it's manifesting itself through vulgar, absolutely obscene language. Thrashing a body around. You got to be a person of prayer. Now, I give you an extreme example by talking about an exorcism, but in our own lives, when we're dealing with the results of original sin, how are we going to overcome this addiction? How we overcome our tempers? How we overcome our despair? By prayer. There is a power that is released when a person prays. And Jesus gives us that power. It's like taking an electrical appliance, taking the cord, and plugging it into the wall socket. Plug it into the wall socket, it works. The vacuum cleaner, the TV, the microwave, whatever it might be. If the plug is not plugged in, you can press the button, you can press the remote control until you turn blue in the face. You're not getting anything. When we plug ourselves into the power of prayer, by praying consistently, by praying with faith and trust and confidence, by praying to be the way without getting in the way, so that God can use us however He wants to use us, then wonderful things happen. Because you realize, don't you, that when we pray, we don't primarily pray to change God's mind. We pray to change our hearts, so that God can work in and through us. Let me give you an example of the founder of my community, St. Francis of Assisi. Every once in a while I refer to him because, you know, since 1963, when I became a friar, I have really not only had a great admiration for St. Francis, but I wanted to follow him and I wanted to know as much about him as I could, because he was the first person to receive the five wounds in his flesh after Jesus. He was called the mirror of Christ. He just did such a great imitation of Jesus. And to this day, whether you're Catholic or not, lots of people have a great admiration for St. Francis. Okay, St. Francis, up until his conversion, dabbled in his religion. Okay? But when he had his conversion, when God really brought him to his senses, he became a powerhouse of prayer. As I like to say, quoting the biographer of St. Francis, Celano, there came a time in Francis's life when he was not so much saying prayers, he became a prayer. Can you imagine becoming a prayer? Can you imagine the power that would flow from God through us? That we would be the conductor. We would be the instrument, like the prayer that I end with every day. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love, etc. That other phrase that I use all the time, God, help me to be the way without getting in the way. Once you become a powerhouse of prayer, you're not going to get in the way. God will use you. Use you for your family. Use you for your community, your church, where you work, where you go to school. Listen, if we're not part of the solution, we're part of the problem. We need to claim the power of the prayer. Every day you have to make an act of faith that you believe there's a God. You believe that God's involved in your life on a day-to-day basis. And number three, you believe that God answers prayers. And so many times, in fact, the majority of the times, the way God answers prayers is using us, human instrumentality. Look at the scripture, read your Bible time after time, whether it's the great prophets, Elisha, Elijah, whether it's Moses. God uses people to work the miracles. You can't, however, be available to God, to be that transparent, unless you're a person of prayer. Make sure you have a strong prayer life, okay? Our prayer partners this day are foster parents. These are the people who take children in who are not easily adopted because of a health problem, because of, well, a variety of problems. And they care for these children as if they're their own. And they need a special blessing, and we want to ask God to bless them. We want to pray for them today. Remember to pray for foster parents. Today's food for thought. Some people have consciences like their alarm clock. They no longer wake them up. Yeah, you can kill your conscience. Conscience is supposed to be wake-up calls in our life. Make sure you have a good conscience so that it wakes you up when you're going in the wrong direction, or when you're becoming very lethargic about your prayer life or your relationship with God. Here's today's small attempt to make you smile or laugh. Why are there no Christians in heaven yet? No, wait, don't panic. Because they are all still at the gate saying to each other, "After you." No, I insist. After you, after you. That's cute. So you want to contact me, Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. You don't want to contact me? Well, contact me anyways. I want to hear from you. I want to know who's listening to the program. I want to hear your prayer intentions so I can storm heaven with you and for you. And I will do that, I promise you. Let me know if you want to receive my newsletter. It comes out 6 times a year. I think you'll really enjoy it. It's the only place. It's not on my internet, not on my message or my answering machine. The only place you can find out where I'm preaching is to get my newsletter. There's no charge for it. And as I always ask you to do on the program, maybe this is the day you're going to do it for me. This is the day you'll sit down and write a check. I don't care how much it's for. Write a check to help me keep my hospital going down in southern Mexico, in Oaxaca, Mexico. Make the check to TASH, the Anacetar Hospital, Tash, Inc. Send it to Father Scott, 221 36th Street, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15201. And as I like to do occasionally, why don't you visit my website at Father Scott, spell out Father, fatherscott.com. I think you'll really enjoy my website. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. Joyful, joyful, Lord, we adore thee. God of glory, Lord.